Hey everybody, hope everybody's doing well, staying safe. It's definitely been hard not being able to meet with each other, but hopefully we'll be able to meet again soon. In the meantime, as Tim mentioned last week, him and I are trying to help out with the load, as Jason's been doing an abundant amount of work for the church here recently, taking on a lot of different roles, helping on keeping the website updated and bulletins. And I want to thank him a great amount for that. He's done so much, and if you haven't had a chance to reach out and thank him for all of that, please do. He's definitely done a lot for us, especially in all this going on. It's been hard, but hopefully this has been encouraging, having different lessons to be able to go through that we've been able to post online and different Bible studies and things of the sort. Hopefully it's been an encouragement, at least hopefully a little bit, and been able to uplift your soul a little bit and really help you in your Christian walk. It truly is a blessing to have this kind of technology to be able to communicate with each other still and to be able to provide lessons still, even though we're not able to really leave our homes as much, especially with all of this going on with the pandemic and such, and we're not able to meet. But hopefully this will all end soon and we can meet with each other again. As Tim mentioned last week, we've been tackling this series on the Sermon on the Mount, going through Matthew chapter 5. Jesus starts off with a couple of very strange statements. First of all, what Tim covered last week, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Just thinking of that statement, blessed are those who are poor. We don't really think of those who are poor, especially poor in spirit, being blessed. Being poor in any sense doesn't sound like a blessing. So for Jesus to make this statement, and not just to the people back then, but even today, making that statement sounds very strange, quite confusing as well. It doesn't really make any sense why he would say that those who are poor are blessed. And he goes on in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 4 to say, blessed are those who mourn, for they are comforted. Without him explaining himself, this is very confusing. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. Back then, they would have expressed their mourning. First of all, I guess I want to back up and give a little definition on what it is to mourn. It's something that would bring sorrow, deep sorrow, a grief, a pain, a loss, some kind of deep sorrow that you would express. And there's different ways to mourn. There's different reasons to mourn. But back then, their mourning, when they would mourn, when they would have this sorrow, they would have, in their culture, they would have more of an expression of it. They would have an outward expression of that mourning. And they would either wear some kind of sackcloth and be covered in ashes, something of the sort. Whereas today, we try to hide that. Today's culture, this statement, blessed are those who mourn, that would even be more confusing, I feel like, because we try to hide that as much as we can. We don't really let people see that as often. Usually we try to, maybe say something funny, something cheerful, to kind of change the mood and get us out of that. We definitely try to avoid bad things in life that bring times of mourning, any kind of sorrow or grief or loss. We try to avoid that as much as possible. So for Jesus to say, blessed are those who mourn, this doesn't seem like a very popular statement. Today we say things like, we want each other to cheer up. We say things like, I hope you have a good day. I hope you have a happy day, basically. I've never heard and wouldn't expect to hear, I hope you have a bad day. I hope you have a sorrowful day. I hope you have something that brings sorrow into your life. I don't imagine I would ever hear anyone say things like this. We never really wish for bad things to happen upon people. But Jesus is coming out in this statement saying that they are blessed. They are finding blessing in this time of mourning. Very strange. It's a very strange statement, especially to follow up after, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense unless you tie in the rest of God's word, unless you tie in the rest of Jesus's teachings. And I think what we'll kind of find out is that Jesus does explain himself without really going into deep, into much depth. So, just the fact that he's saying this, we would think that he would say something more along the lines, blessed are those who are happy. And blessed are those who have joy in their life, maybe never-ending joy in their life, you know, because usually if we see somebody that's happy, we see somebody maybe who's rich, that's who we would think is blessed. So, you know, but Jesus says quite the opposite. He says, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are poor. And Solomon in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 13 says, even in laughter, the heart may sorrow, and the end of mirth may be grief. You know, Solomon says something along the lines, and if you really look at Solomon and what he did, if you believe that he's the Ecclesiastes writer, you see that he's saying things that kind of seem quite depressing. But I think we can find the same things that, you know, in laughter, the heart may sorrow, you know, and at the end of mirth may be grief. So the end of partying might be grief. You know, we might be showing an external expression of happiness, but even though we're showing that happiness, we might have sorrow inside, we might have grief inside. So even though we're laughing, the heart may sorrow, you know, and that truly is, if you think about it, there are times I think you can think back into your life where this is quite true. You know, this is something that you might have expressed yourself. As I mentioned previously, there's different ways we can mourn. There's different reasons why we can mourn. And really, if we look at the reasons to mourn, I guess I should start off by mentioning there are wrong ways to mourn. And I don't think Jesus is saying that those who mourn for wrong reasons are blessed. I do not believe that he would say that people who are mourning for greed, mourning for some sort of reason that would, you know, basically be against God. You know, I don't know that we can be in some state of sorrow or grief, kind of an anger against God for some reason, you know, but I won't really expand too much on that, but I know we can probably think of examples where that might be the case. And I definitely don't think that he's saying that those people are blessed. I don't think that people who are mourning for that reason are blessed, but more for the reasons among, you know, what a Christian would mourn for. We can look at, you know, just human reasons to mourn. And, you know, as a Christian being close to God, we can see that these are reasons to mourn where Jesus would say that we are being blessed. The loss of a loved one, not always in the sense of death. And I don't think that Jesus is always only talking about mourning as mourning over a lost loved one in the sense of death, but even just losing a loved one that may have been separated from you, you know, just leaving. Personally, I know I can think of when my family either comes to visit me or I'm able to go visit my family. Whenever I'm separated from them, losing them in the sense of just not having their presence around me as much, that definitely brings me to have sorrow. You know, I'm definitely mourning in that sense. There's times where it really hurts inside to be able to be separated from them, to be around them, and then just to be separated. It's definitely a time of mourning in that sense. But even the loss of health, not just the loss of health from ourselves, you know, maybe we've got something wrong with us that, you know, we found out that we have some kind of sickness or some kind of illness that causes a lot of sorrow within us. Even the loss of health of a loved one, someone we care about, a friend. You know, we care about that so much that does bring upon some kind of sorrow. It's not a happy thing to hear about somebody losing their health. You know, even those who we may not know personally, we have a long prayer list of people who maybe we don't know personally, but we know of them. You know, that is definitely a sorrowful thing to hear about that. We're sorry to hear about what hurt it may have caused for those who are actually close to them. We don't wish bad things upon people. So, you know, we definitely have sorrow. We have mourning over things like that. The loss of income is another reason why we may have mourning. You know, if we have bills to pay, which I think most of us, if not all of us, definitely have bills to pay, losing that income is definitely a sorrowful thing. It's definitely a stressful thing that can definitely cause mourning. I know if you've ever been laid off, that's definitely stressful because you've got to find another job to be able to make up for that income that you were once making. Maybe you just have a decrease in pay at work, you know, for whatever reason that happens from many reasons. Maybe you have a bonus of some sort that has been changed that you relied on, that they're not going to be releasing that the same way, and it's not going to be as much. Whatever the case may be, maybe a loss of income in whatever sort, you know, providing for your family, paying your bills. There's so many things that come with that. You know, you could lose your house. You could lose, you know, wherever it is that you live. You could lose your car. There's so many things. You know, you wouldn't be able to feed yourself. That all those things, that they build up stress, not being able to pay for that, not being able to have that income to be able to provide for yourself, for those who you love. That is definitely stressful. It's definitely something to mourn about. You know, the loss of a friend. I suppose this could be tied in with the loss of a loved one, but a loss of a friend, you know, maybe you lost them because you've been separated by miles. I know I have friends in Europe. I have friends where I used to live in different places. Maybe I met them at different camps and things of the sort. You know, I have friends that I've lost them just as not being able to associate with them as much. We, you know, the miles, you know, not being able to communicate as much. That's definitely a sorrowful thing that brings sorrow. You know, it's definitely a time of mourning when you think about the fact that you don't have, you're maybe not as close to them as you used to be. Maybe you lost a friend because you have come to a disagreement. Maybe you've had some kind of fight with them and you lost a friend. That's a sorrowful thing. You know, that's definitely something to mourn about. Maybe you lost them because they've fallen away. You know, we have so many different reasons for mourning, and the list could go on, and I could keep on bringing out more and more things, more and more reasons for us to mourn. But I think we can determine the reasons that would be good to mourn, and there's other reasons that would be a wrong way of mourning, a wrong reason for mourning. I think we could definitely make the distinction between the two. But all of these are definitely reasons. These are humane reasons to mourn, and it's definitely not wrong. You know, losing a loved one, for example, it's not wrong for us to mourn over a lost loved one, especially to death. You know, those things are very sad. It's very sorrowful. Jesus himself wept over losing his friend Lazarus. He sat there and he wept. So emotions like that, they're within us. You know, we're only human. We can't just turn our emotions off. So mourning is definitely not a wrong thing to do. Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn. You know, so for us to mourn for the right reasons, we need to find, we need to know that we are blessed. You know, and we'll talk a little bit more about what that means here in just a moment. Just an example of mourning. We can look at a psalm in Psalm 6. This is David speaking here. He writes this psalm and he says, I am weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with weeping. Have you ever felt that deep sorrow, a sense of mourning where you are lying in bed? Maybe you cry yourself to sleep, or something that has brought a lot of sorrow, a deep sorrow to yourself, you know, for whatever reason it may be. I'm sure most of us have definitely felt this sorrow, this deep sorrow. This is the type of mourning that Jesus is talking about. A very good reason to mourn, something that I hope we find, is when we sin. Hopefully, you know, we have mourned at some time in our life because we found that our sin has drawn us away from God, or I guess separated us from God, and we don't have the relationship with God that we used to. You know, maybe it's not necessarily a sin, but just that we found that, you know, we haven't had as close of a relationship with God as we once did. Maybe we don't pray as much as we ought to. Maybe we don't read as often as we ought to, and search the scriptures, try things that would draw us closer to God. We realize that we've separated ourselves from God, from our sin, or just simply not reaching out, talking to him in prayer. not searching through his word, reading the scriptures. Things like this should bring sorrow to us. You know, we should mourn over these things. Romans chapter 7, verse 24, Paul is writing to the Romans here, and he says, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" He's upset for the sins that he's committed. You know, a wretched man that I am. He's definitely one that we can look at and see that he has mourned for the sins that he's committed. He knows that the wrong things that he's done has definitely separated himself from God. And he's not happy about that. He wants to be delivered from this body of death. He goes on to say, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord," in the next verse. And so he recognizes that God is the one that will deliver him. That's kind of his comfort that he finds in this mourning over his sin that he's committed. We can also look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verses 8 through 10 says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you." Here, he's telling those who have sinned to weep for what they've done. They need to mourn for what they've done. You know, they need to realize that this sin that they are committing, this is wrong. You know, backing up to Romans, Paul was talking about how he wants to do the right thing. He wants to follow God's law, and he's upset that he hasn't. He's, you know, here in James, we see a very similar thing, that those sinners are doing things that are separating themselves from God. They need to draw near to him. They need to cleanse their hands and purify their hearts. You know, they need to realize that they have sinned and they have separated themselves from God. This is something that we can't grow complacent with. We can't grow complacent and just completely be, you know, blinded by the fact that we are sinning. We need to realize that we sin. If we get to the point where sin just becomes normal in our lives, then we aren't going to feel that sorrow. And if you're not feeling sorrow over the sins that you've committed, then you just aren't close enough to God, and you're not realizing that you're separating yourself from him. You know, to be close to him, to love him and keep his commandments as he wants you to do, would mean that you would see when you are sinning. When you're sinning, you realize that you're separating yourself, that you're not as close to him in the relationship with him. And it is truly a great thing to mourn over our sins. This is definitely something that God wants us to do. And Paul even writes to the Romans, and here in James, it's, you know, this is something that sinners, we need to weep. We need to mourn over our sins, realize what it's done, not just to simply keep on going and living our lives, living in sin. We need to stop that sin. We need to realize that it's wrong and correct ourselves. You know, these are just a few reasons to mourn, and there's definitely more reasons than just our own sin, the sin of others. Maybe we see people who have fallen away. This is definitely a reason to mourn. Hopefully we can reach out and help them to realize that they're causing us to mourn. Hopefully that can be a sense of blessing for them. Hopefully that can help them to realize what they've done to separate themselves from the Lord. And hopefully that can help them draw nearer to him, knowing that we are mourning over them being separated from them, falling away. And, you know, maybe we can even mourn over those in the church who have, you know, the illnesses and things that we brought up. Hopefully that can be a blessing to them. We'll talk a little bit more about that as well. But, you know, when we think about this, in our time of mourning, it is truly hard to realize that we're being blessed. It's like I said before, we don't really want that blessing if it's a blessing to be mourning. You know, for those who are mourning, it doesn't feel like a blessing. And it's hard to find the blessing. So we think to ourselves, how do we find that blessing when we're mourning? Well, there's a few scriptures that I can go through with you, and there's so many. I wish I had time to go through all of them. But there's a few scriptures that I've pulled out that I think can help us to find that blessing in mourning. Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 through 39 says, one of the disciples speaking to Jesus says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment?" Which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Here Jesus tells this disciple that asks him which the greatest commandment in the law is, he tells him that loving the Lord your God is the greatest commandment. In order to find blessing in our mourning, we have to be following God's word. If we're not following his word and keeping his commandments, if we're not loving him with all of our soul and with all of our mind, we're not going to have that connection with him to realize that we are loved. You know, just knowing that we are loved and knowing that we have a close relationship with God, that should be a blessing in our time of mourning. The reason why I included verse 39, it says, "And a second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." If we're loving our neighbor as ourselves when they are mourning, we're going to show that to them. And that love will be returned to us if we show that love to them. You know, if we're all showing that to each other, especially as Christians, then that will be shown as a blessing. You know, having that love when we are in mourning, that love for our neighbor will also be shown back to us, letting us see that blessing that we have them. We have them to help us get through those tough times, through that time, those times of mourning. So hopefully we can see that, that when we love our neighbor as ourselves, we have a connection with them to where they will help us find the blessing. And vice versa, when they're going through mourning, they can see the blessing in us, that we are trying to reach out to them, that we are letting them know that they are loved. That is always a blessing to have someone come to you when you're in time of sorrow, to let them know that they're being thought of, you know, that you're thinking of them, that you're hoping everything is okay, that they are able to get through that. That is truly a blessing. And I think anybody that has gone through any kind of sorrow, you know, whenever you have somebody come to you, I think we can all agree that that's truly a blessing to have somebody come and let you know that you're being thought of, that you are loved. I know personally, I'm grateful for people who come to me whenever I'm in times of sorrow to let me know that it's okay, you know, that they are there for me. John chapter 14, verse 25, starting at verse 25, it says, this is Jesus speaking, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the helper," which that word can also be translated as the comforter, verse 26, "but the helper," the comforter, "the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does, so that when it does take place, you may believe." Jesus is about to be crucified here, and he's explaining to his disciples, to his apostles, that he's about to leave, but they're going to have peace through the Holy Spirit, who will comfort them. To know that when we are going through troubled times, that we have the Holy Spirit there for us, that is truly a blessing. And the Holy Spirit is still with us today. When Jesus left, he left us with his Holy Spirit to help guide us, to help keep us strong. And that should be a blessing, to know that the Holy Spirit is there to comfort us in times of sorrow. You know, this doesn't just go to the disciples when they were grieving over the loss of Jesus. This goes to us when we're grieving over different things in life. You know, whenever we're going through hard times, any kind of sorrow or time of loss, whenever we are mourning, the Holy Spirit is there to comfort us. You know, we need to lean on Him and realize that He's there. That should be a blessing to us, to know that the Holy Spirit is there, that Jesus left the Holy Spirit for us, so that we have a blessing in time of mourning. A very popular passage, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, Christ, you know, he gives us strength. We can overcome our sadness or our grief through that strength that we get from Christ. That should be a blessing to us. We should realize that we have that strength through Christ, leaning on Him, going to Him whenever we are in time of sorrow, whenever we are mourning. Hopefully we can find the blessing in the strength that He's given us as Christians, knowing that we have Christ to lean on. Also in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, says, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. You know, God will wipe away every tear and take away all of the suffering that we endure when this life is over. That should be comforting to know that this isn't going to go on forever. You know, we don't want to be mourning. As I mentioned before, we try to do things to take that mourning away. We try to help others who are mourning because we don't want to be mourning. We don't want to have that grief. We don't want to have sorrow in our lives. But to know that when this life is over, God will take all of that mourning away. He'll take all of that sorrow away. There will be no more tears. There will be no more death. There will be no more crying or pain. All of that will have passed away. That is truly a blessing to know. You know, it's truly comforting to know that when this life is over, we don't have to go through this anymore. It will all be over. Hopefully we can find blessing in that as well. Just something to kind of keep our minds on, that when this life is over, we don't have to keep on going through what we're going through at the time that we are mourning. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, Jesus says, Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How comforting is that? If you can't find peace, if you can't find blessing, and the fact that Jesus himself calls out to those who are heavy burdened to come to him, I don't know what else can give you peace. No, Jesus is calling out to those who are in times of sorrow, those who are laboring and are heavy laden. He will give you rest, he says. You know, if you have any kind of sorrow, any kind of mourning, we can find blessing in the fact that Jesus wants us to go to him. We can go to the Father. He will give us rest. We don't have to keep all of it to ourselves. I know that there's some things that you don't really know how to talk about. You don't know how to go to someone to talk to them about what you're feeling. I know I've felt that many times where I'm going through some kind of sorrow, some kind of loss, that it's hard to explain that to someone else. You don't know how they can really relate to you. You don't really know how it would come across to them. It's very difficult sometimes to go to people, even people who are very close with. Sometimes it's very hard to go to them and explain the things that we're feeling. Go to God in prayer when you feel that way. That will truly, truly help. You know, and just to know that God is there, he wants you to go to him. He calls out to you to come to him when you feel like you've got too much burden on yourself. You don't have to feel alone. He calls out to you and says, come to me. He wants you to come to him. Even just opening His word. When you're feeling weak, when you're feeling some sort of sorrow, to search in His scripture. Read scriptures like these. These will help you to overcome that mourning. You know, a scripture like this where Jesus is calling out and saying to come to Him. He's speaking to you at that moment. You know, we need to find blessing that in the fact that Jesus and God, they want you to come to them. Search the scripture. You know, do something to draw yourself closer to them through prayer. You know, there's so many different ways that you can do that. And when you feel like you can't reach out to anyone else, reach out to God. You know, there's no one better to talk to about your sorrows than God. He knows what you're feeling. He knows the pain that you're going through. He knows the sorrow and the loss that you're going through. So whenever we are mourning, there's no one better to go to than God. And it truly is a blessing to know that we can be comforted by Him, by going to Him. Also in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, another popular passage, Joshua says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." This is speaking to the Israelites. Whenever they are going through battles, they're going through very tough times. They're frightened by the battles that are to come, physical battles. But this is also speaking to us as Christians to know that, you know, we need to be strong and courageous, not to be frightened, but to know that the Lord our God is with us wherever we go. That is truly a blessing in of itself. If you can't find blessing in anything, find blessing in the fact that God is with you. Again, go to Him a prayer. He is with you. Go to Him a prayer. Search through His word. Go to Him and just talk to Him. Lay your burdens on Him. He will take them from you. He wants to do that. He is able to do that for you. You know, He wants to comfort us. He wants us to feel blessed. He wants us to find blessing in times of mourning. That is the reason why Jesus says, "Blessed are those who mourn." You know, we can go back to that passage in Matthew chapter 5. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted, for they shall be comforted." Jesus answers Himself kind of discreetly. He kind of answers why those who mourn are blessed. Because they will be comforted. If you're mourning for a reason that is okay for you to mourn, like I said before, there's reasons that are not right for us to mourn, but reasons that are mourning for you know, for loss, things that bring us pain in life, natural reasons to mourn, not anything that would bring out any kind of anger or anything against the Lord, you know, whatever the case may be, but for these right reasons of mourning, those who mourn, they'll be comforted, just as these scriptures that we've gone through. And I wish I could go through all of them, all of the scripture that would point this out, you know, that God is there for us. He wants us to go to Him. We can look towards the end, like we looked at Revelation chapter 21, and know that when this life is over, we don't have to go through what we're feeling at the time that we are mourning. We don't have to go through that anymore. We can fight on. We can stay strong and know that when this life is over, that we don't have to feel that pain and that grief, that sorrow. We don't have to feel loss anymore. There will be no more death, no more tears, no more suffering. You know, we can find blessing in that, to know that God is with us. All that we have to do for Him to be with us is to have a close relationship with Him. You know, having that relationship with Him is what comforts us. And the more you realize that, the happier you truly will be in life. The more you'll see blessing in life, especially in those times of mourning. You'll find that when you're mourning and you have a close relationship with God by keeping His commandments, by loving Him, as we read in Matthew chapter 22, when you go through those times of mourning, you'll realize that you are blessed. by being comforted by God, having that close relationship with God. And hopefully we can see that. Hopefully we can find happiness in times of sorrow. And hopefully we can realize that there is blessing in all that God can do for you, all that he has done for you, all that he will do for you. And hopefully we can find some sort of blessing in those times. You know, go through these scriptures when you're mourning. Go through other scriptures if you need help finding them. There's plenty of us here at the West Broad Church of Christ that would be more than willing to reach out and help you find scripture. We will sit there and pray with you if you need it. Whatever the case may be, when you're mourning, try to find blessing in those times of mourning. Realize that God is there for you, and ultimately go to him if you feel like you can't go to anyone else. God is there for you. He wants to take that burden from you. So hopefully we can see that. Hopefully this was encouraging. Hopefully we can remember things like this whenever we are in time of mourning, whenever we're in deep sorrow. And hopefully as we're all separated, I know that brings sorrow to many of us. Hopefully we can remember these things as well. Remember that God is with you. And hopefully we can all stay strong. I hope to see everyone again soon, and hopefully we can deliver these messages in person soon. Hopefully we can have fellowship with each other soon. But until then, stay strong and be blessed in your time of mourning. Find blessing in your time of mourning. Thank you, everyone.